Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Future of Fantasy. I am your host, Frank Stanful, here with my colleague, Michael, the Fantasy Beast Florio.
Oh, you beast!
Hey guys, it's been too long, Frank.
Is that how you, that's all you want to say? That's how you want to put it? It's been too long?
Yeah.
A little 2 month hiatus here?
It's been too long, guys, and I've missed you.
Yeah, we've been rehabbing back into the fantasy game. We were off with some injuries, one might say. Hey, Michael Florio?
What injuries are those?
You know, like hangovers, you know, stuff like that.
All right.
Been a while, but we're back for the fantasy playoffs when you need us most. Where can people follow you on Twitter, Mike, real quick?
At Michael F. Florio, two Fs in there.
Not that you really need the followers anymore, do you? Do you need more followers? Answer the question. You
could always use more. The more the merrier.
Wrong answer. How many followers do you have?
I'm pushing up to 1,500.
Wow. All right, ask me how many I have.
How many do you have?
Not even 500.
All right, well, follow Frank,
yes.
But also follow me.
No. At @Roto_Frank is where you can follow me. I'm getting my tweet game up lately for those in need. And if you want to check out the most recent playoff article written by yours truly, posted that last week, but it's a look at all the playoff matchups, the best and the worst from weeks 13, which was last week, until 16, because really, if you play fantasy football, if you play into week 17 in a fantasy football league, there's a problem. So I only cover up to week 16, and it has the best and worst matchups for each position. Go check that out at rotoexperts.com. But where are we headed now is this week, week 14, the upcoming games. We're just kind of going to run down each game. We're going to look at the ones that are potential shootouts. The ugly games, which we have a nice analogy for you guys later on. see if you like that. But the Thursday night game, like, this has some pretty serious fantasy implications here. Dallas at Chicago.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be a lot of people paying very close attention to this game. You got top running backs like Forte and Murray. You know the big receivers, Dez, Jeffrey, Marshall, the quarterback. So a lot of people are going to be wondering if they should play their guys. The good thing is both of these teams played last Thursday, so they're not coming in on short rest.
That is very true. That is the truest thing you've ever said, Mike.
You know, well, okay, but both of these defenses struggle against the tight end. A weird way to throw it, started out there. But, you know, if you're a Jason Witten or a Martellus Bennett owner, you could feel safe plugging them in this week.
Can you really feel safe with any tight end besides Rob Gronkowski? I mean, we were just talking about this. And it kind of sucks. Like, in my opinion, it kind of sucks that this is the Thursday night game. I mean, I know it's good because they had, you know, the whole week off to play. They played last Thanksgiving. You know, they're not coming off short rest. Okay, that's great. I understand why they're doing it. But did the NFL realize how many fantasy implications were going to be in this game when they scheduled it? Week 14, potential fantasy playoffs, or, you know, getting to the playoffs on the line in this one game?
But you got to look at it at
There's
both sides.
So many.
But that's the thing. If you're versing a Forte or a Murray, it gives you an advantage because, yeah, I mean, anytime you're going to, or even if, say, you're versing like a Witten, a Bennett, because with those top running backs, you're going to expect them to go off on you. But say you're versing a Bennett and he puts up a dud, then you know, all right, I could play guys that are giving me safe points because I already have an advantage. But if you play and you're playing Bennett and he goes off, you know, all right, well, I need to play my guys with the high upside because I'm already behind the eight ball. I think it gives you a little help in your strategy if you're going against these guys.
I'm just saying, if I was an owner of a bunch of players in this game, which generally I am not, just you know, scouring over my teams here, I really don't have a lot of players in this game, which, you know, you would think is a surprise. I made the playoffs in 3 out of 4 of my leagues, and I don't have, you know, DeMarco Murray, Dez Bryant, or any Bears receivers on any of them. But if I was an owner in one of these games, you know, it kind of sucks because, like, if you get off on a bad start in the fantasy playoffs, say you have Matt Forte and, you know, potentially he gives you 5 points, and that's how you're starting your
that's
fantasy playoffs.
Happen.
It would be terrible.
But the thing is, if you have a stud in this game, start your stud. And if you have a guy who you're on the fence about, that could also help you. I know it would suck if you benched him or you started him and it doesn't live up to it, but you could say, hey, you know what? I don't know between these two guys. I'd rather give myself a chance going into Sunday. I'm going to bench the one in favor of the guy going Sunday. That's okay. Like, you know, there's ways to play around this Thursday night game.
So, all right, I think it's agreed. We're starting Tony Romo in this game. We're starting DeMarco Murray, Dez Bryant. How about Terrence Williams?
No,
it's not happening right now. I mean, he's not getting the targets. He was touchdown dependent earlier in the season. And, you know, once we saw that fade away, it's like everything is going away with this guy. He was just way too touchdown dependent. And
the funny thing is, you said he disappeared, and his quote when you type his name in is Terrence Williams, quote, "I didn't disappear."
I didn't disappear.
But, I mean, the truth is he has 0 targets against Jacksonville, 2 against the Giants, 4 against the Eagles. He hasn't had a touchdown since the first Giants game back in the middle of October. Yeah, he's struggling. I mean, his high in yards this year, 77. So yeah, you can't trust him.
All right, so we're not even using him as wide receiver 3. Not even a flex. Even if it's a PPR, we're not
using Cole Beasley.
Who all of a sudden has
butter all over his hands.
Butter all over his hands. Yeah, I know. He's quite the pesky. The pesky cat on Twitter as well, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah.
Calling out those fans.
He said, oh, I haven't fumbled in years. And then he fumbled again twice, so.
Yeah, what a bum. You know, honestly, he's one of those guys that, like, if he was in a bar and you walked up to him, like, from behind, you might, like, tap him on the tush a little bit because you think he's a girl.
Why would you?
I'm just saying, like, you look at his hair. It's so, like, beautiful. Like, when he was running, I don't know. Maybe I was drinking a little too much on Thanksgiving, but I seen this guy get up from a play. He took his helmet off after he fumbled.
He did.
And, like, from behind, dude, this guy has pure Goldilocks.
But I'm sure compared to the average girl, you're going to look at him from behind and be like, that guy's built. You're not going to go, hey, let me tap him on. First of all, you just walk up to girls and tap him on the tush. Is that's acceptable?
I'm not saying it's acceptable, but I know a few people who might do it. I'm not dropping any names, but all right. Well, regardless, but seriously, back to this tight end discussion. Like, all right, we ran down wide receivers, running backs of the Cowboys so far. But Jason Witten, if you have a Jason Witten or a Martellus Bennett, are you starting them in this game over, you know, one of the really every tight end besides Jimmy Graham, Gronkowski, Greg Olsen? Those are really the top three. And if you have Julius Thomas healthy, you're starting those 4 guys.
Yep.
In my opinion. But after that, everyone is jumbled in this same group. So where do you rank Jason Witten and Bennett? Are you going to start these guys over a Kobe Fleener, over Antonio Gates, Delanie Walker? Because, I mean, I'm struggling looking at it right now. I know the matchups are great, but it's really just a flip of the coin with all these guys. How can you determine on a Thursday night whether you're going to play these guys if you don't know if a guy like Dwayne Allen's going to be out, which, you know, directly affects the fantasy value of Kobe Fleener? I'm just trying to figure out, where am I going here? I'm probably starting Antonio Gates over those guys, just because, you know, like me and you were talking about this before we even started tonight. You know, we think Keenan Allen's going to get locked out of that game, and it could be one of those big games for Antonio Gates. I think the Chargers are fighting for their life right now, and we're going to see that on Sunday. The game is in San Diego, so I think they're going to come out firing. So
I think if you own Bennett, unless you own one of those top tight ends, like you said, you have to start him. I mean, yeah, I know he had a 3-week span where he was struggling, but
he had a good game last week.
He did.
Very nice.
11 targets, 8 receptions.
Against a good defense, too. Detroit.
Because, yeah, they had a nice game plan going into that game, but once the Lions started adjusting to it, that game went downhill. But Bennett, he's going to be involved in the offense. I mean, he's had 5 or more targets every game this year. He's a big part of that offense, and against a team who's actually fairly successful against wide receivers and struggles against tight ends, I expect him to be used in it.
On the flip side of that, we have Jason Witten here, who had a 4-week span from week 8 to 12 where he had at least 6 targets, and he scored touchdowns in 3 out of 4 of those games. I mean, he's not doing what he once used to do. Only 2 targets, 1 reception last week, but The Bears are giving up the most fantasy points to tight ends this year, just over 11 points per game. I think you have to roll with it. Basically, at this point, when you get into this group of players, you have to go with the best matchups. There's not really, like they say on the morning show, you're splitting hairs. Like, you, what it comes down to is just, you know, the smallest little thing. And, I mean, if we're looking at matchups here, Jason Witten has one of the better ones. I don't know if you could... It's hard to say you don't want to use Kobe Fleener coming off a game like he did last week, but...
There's a tight end who we'll name later when we get into that game where I like him more than Witten, and it's very possible you own both.
But yeah, that's the thing.
It's a nice little teaser for you guys.
You can definitely own two out of these guys. Like, you can own a Witten and a Delanie Walker, a Witten and a Kyle Rudolph type thing. So I would rank Witten... You know, I would actually rank him behind Bennett, behind Gates. He's probably right in that 6 to 8 range of tight end this week. That's probably where I would rank him. But on the Bears side of the ball, we're starting Forte. Are we reluctantly starting both Bears wide receivers? I think you have to.
Yeah.
I mean, they're your money guys. I know Brandon Marshall's not really showing up right now, but you saw what Alshon Jeffrey could do last week.
Believe it or not, though, a lot of people have been asking me questions about Marshall because a lot of people got Gordon back, and now they only start two receivers, stuff like that.
And there has been a lot of guys that have, you know, emerged, like DeAndre Hopkins, yeah, and stuff like that. Like, people that were drafted
Jordan
late.
Matthews. We'll get into him a lot later.
But the thing is, this Dallas defense is not good, man. I don't care what you say. Like, yeah, they held their own for a while this year. The reason they were doing so good is because their defense wasn't on the field for a lot of those games. They were just running the ball down teams' throats.
Which we very well could see this week.
Yeah, I mean, they could control the time possession in this game with DeMarco Murray. I expect that O-line to get back on track. But I think it's just a case. I think Brandon Marshall has been hurt all year, and he's just not telling anybody about it. Would you start a Brandon Marshall over DeAndre Hopkins? I don't think I would. I think I would go with Hopkins. Hopkins has the Jaguars this week.
Yeah, no, I'd probably go Hopkins.
You got to go with the hot hand here.
But
that's a play like that. Odell Beckham or Brandon Marshall?
Probably Beckham.
Yeah, I think I'm going Beckham too. I'm saying...
I think the Giants have a big game this week.
If you have Marshall, we're not telling you to start him over everybody, but you're going to start him over a lot of people. I think he's like a low-end wide receiver too in that range, or, you know, solid wide receiver too. If you have other studs that have emerged, such as those guys, I think you have to start him. I would start a Mike Evans over him too.
Yeah, I think the thing where people, where we say don't get too cute, I think that's where you're getting in the range of like a Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, like I'm not starting
stuff
Jarvis
like
Landry
that.
Over Brandon Marshall.
Landry's good. Stedman Bailey has been pretty solid. You know, like guys like that where people are going to be like, oh, should I start them over Marshall? I think that's getting too cute.
Yeah, like your normal low-end wide receiver three kind of guys. How about Kenny Stills? I think I'm going with Kenny Stills. You got to ride the hot hand right now. Nice matchup against Carolina.
Yeah, Stills is their number one.
I think... You know, it's tough. I'm sure a lot of people have to figure this out right now. They have questions like this.
Mohamed Sanu is on the border of that. I like him a lot this week.
I think
great
I would,
matchup
I think
against
I
Pittsburgh.
I would go Marshall against him, though.
It's close, though, and that's where people are wondering a lot.
All right, so we've laid that down. How about Jay Cutler?
I'm starting him.
Yeah?
He'll give you the turnover or two, but he's going to put up numbers.
Yeah, I mean, based on... quarterback play, you never know what's going to happen. We have Ryan Fitzmagic, your boy, ex-Buffalo Bills, 6 touchdowns. I mean, last week was really wacky for quarterback. But
he said the whole game he was thinking about bringing his family onto the field.
Yeah. And then
how
heard
awesome
that,
is
like,
that?
He brought his son out in the press conference or something like that.
To show off his math skills.
His math skills. Like, all right, Ryan Fitzpatrick, we get it. You're really smart. You're a nerd. Like, yep. I just don't understand it.
If this quarterback thing, I mean, it's working out for him so far, kind of. He's still in the league so long, but he could get a job on Wall Street or something. He's a genius.
Yeah, obviously. And for those owners that can't see right now, we're going to have to tweet out a picture of your beard. I think we're going to have to do that right now.
Growing a Ryan Fitzpatrick?
He's growing out the Ryan Fitzmagic beard right now. All right, so let's move on. We have potential shootout games. That was one of them. We got to move a little faster here, man.
All right, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati. I just said I like Mohamed Sanu. I love A.J. Green. This Pittsburgh secondary is terrible.
Yeah, I mean, they might as well be putting statues out there. That's how old these guys are. You know what I'm saying? We see Ike Taylor get burned on a double move last week by Kenny Stills. I mean, no offense against Ike Taylor. I mean, I did technically just call him a statue, but dude, you get burned by Kenny Stills, and like you have these two young stud wide receivers coming in here this week, and A.J. Green and Mohamed Sanu. Yeah, this could be a long game for the Steelers.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, I mean, Pittsburgh has two of the best offensive weapons in the NFL in Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, you're starting those guys. They're going to put up numbers.
That's why I think this game has potential shootout written all over it. I know it's a divisional game. Those tend to be, you know, a little bit more competitive. They're going to be, close in score. I don't expect this to be a blowout by any
Fun
means.
Fun fact, though, just for you guys out there, over the past month, Cincinnati has been the best defense against opposing wide receivers fantasy-wise besides the Seahawks. So, it's a tougher matchup than you're looking for Antonio Brown. I think, but you're starting Brown.
He's getting his.
I think I would stay away from Bryant, though.
Yeah, a guy like Martavis Bryant. We're seeing his targets go down a little bit here. What it is with Bryant is that he's touchdown dependent and he's big play dependent.
He's big play.
If he's not getting that, his value is shot. That's something I mentioned a few weeks ago when I was writing about Martavis Bryant and the Steelers, is that if he doesn't have that big play, if he doesn't have that 80-yard touchdown against the Jets, he has a very, very quiet day.
Yeah, all his touchdowns come on big plays.
Yes, and I mean, he's a big target, so I mean, it's going to happen in the red zone. He's just touchdown dependent. That's what it is. I mean, he's not getting, 8, 9, 10 targets a game. You see the last 2 weeks, 9 targets combined in that game against the Titans and against the Saints. The Saints, which is, a beautiful matchup, just went out there and put up a dud, 1 reception for 23 yards. So, like you said, this Bengals secondary is locking down.
See, a guy like Bryant, I would start a guy like Moncrief over him because they're both very similar. I think they're going to depend on a big play, but
except one defense is better than the other. I mean, the
Browns have been good.
They have a good secondary, but really they've been burned by like second and third receiver options at times this year. It's just, they don't have Joe Hayden at every position.
And Andrew Luck is Andrew Luck.
Indeed. So, we know we're starting. Who are you starting Big Ben over this week?
Big Ben. That's a close one.
Like, are you starting...
I would start both Thursday night guys over him.
Yeah, I would start both Thursday night guys over him as well. Just looking at it here, based on you brought up about the Bengals, I don't think Heath Miller is going to make that big of a difference here in this game. We could potentially see a big Le'Veon Bell game here.
Yeah, no, I think we do. And out of those two quarterbacks, too, I know it's hard to trust Andy Dalton. Trust me, he's not a name I like at all. But I think I would trust him over Big Ben this week, I think.
Mike, I heard you were one of those players that started Andy Dalton on the negative point week.
Let me tell you this.
How'd that work out for you?
I own Philip Rivers. He put up -3. Then he was on bye. So I said, all right, you know what? I'll pick up Andy Dalton. Good matchup against the Browns. What's there to lose? The -3 points to lose.
Yeah, yeah.
2 weeks in a row.
What's there to lose? Just 3 points.
2 weeks in a row. -3 for my quarterback.
I love that, intimate voice that you went into just to tell that story. Like,
those two losses burned, man.
Very hurt. Man.
The week where I lost Philip Rivers, where he put up -3, I lost that week by 3.5. So if he puts up 1 point, I win. And that one win kept me out of the playoffs. So.
Oof. Did you lose big the week that you had Andy Dalton?
Oh, let me tell you about that one.
Uh-oh.
I was down 30, right? Eagles defense storming on the Panthers, put me up 10. And then I survived the McCoy touchdown. I was versing McCoy and Benjamin. And then Kelvin Benjamin had those two garbage time touchdowns, which why was he even in the game at that point? And I lost because of those touchdowns. 3 heartbreaking losses in a row. And that's my season.
Poor Mikey.
It's the only league I didn't make the playoffs in, too, so it's rough.
Did I make the playoffs in that league?
You did.
All right, no. I can't let Cocky Frank comes out, because once that happens, you get smite down by the fantasy gods. I'm not letting it happen. It's Humble Frank. That's it. I'm just going to ride it out with my top seed.
We should probably move on to this next game, right?
All right, yes. All right, so basically we're not starting. All right, so wait. We like the wide receiver options in these games, but we don't like the quarterbacks. So who's throwing them the ball?
We like the Bengals a lot. We like Antonio Brown because he's Antonio Brown.
I could see Dalton throwing two touchdowns in this game, but I could see him also having, you know, one or two turnovers as well. Like, he could have potentially two touchdowns to A.J. Green, or one to A.J. Green, one to Sanu, something like that.
I could see him throwing for three, potentially.
Okay, but Big Ben, we don't really like it, because we could see, see Le'Veon Bell, one or two touchdowns.
And it's a tougher defense.
That's true. The Bengals defense is better. All right, so we're going with guys like, would you start Andy Dalton over Big Ben if you have both?
Yes.
You actually would.
Yeah, that's what I said when we brought up Andy Dalton.
Despite the minus three.
Yeah, that's what brought it up.
Okay, are we going with, we established both Thursday night games, are we going Russell Wilson at Philly over Big Ben?
Yes.
Are we going Tannehill versus Baltimore?
Yes, because the only secondary that gave up more points over the past, I believe it was month, than the Steelers was the Ravens. So, oof.
How the mighty have fallen, you know, those elite AFC North defenses.
They suck.
Kaepernick, also known as Colin Krapernick.
That's really close. That's getting to a coin flip almost.
I think I'm going Big Ben there. I don't see any upside with Kaepernick here. I don't care about the matchup. I could see this as one of those games where the 49ers just run all over Oakland. You know, we see a lot of Frank Gore, a lot of Carlos Hyde in this game.
The one game about Kaepernick is he could be the one doing the running, but he hasn't shown that ability this year.
He hasn't even been running the ball, you know, in the past.
I think they don't want him to.
5, 6, 7 weeks, we haven't seen him running.
I think, because you could tell there's times in the game where he's like, all right, I'm going to run, and then he just says, nope, I should look to throw again. I think they want to make him a pocket passer.
I'm going Big Ben over Kaepernick.
It's close.
All right, Cam Newton at New Orleans.
I don't trust Cam Newton ever. I think I would go Big Ben.
Big Ben? It's a lot more upside, though, because the Saints...
so hard to trust
Saints
Cam Newton.
Saints defense is just...
The thing is, Cam Newton's always playing from behind. You expect him to throw, and he just can't.
So many problems, offensive line, injuries.
I think Kelvin Benjamin and Greg Olsen are the only ones I'm starting in that game.
Mark Sanchez at home versus Seattle, or Big Ben at Cincy.
I think I'd go Big Ben.
Yeah.
I don't trust Sanchez in that game.
I don't. Yeah, you know the thing is, I don't like him in big games. You see what he did against Green Bay? I mean, I guess...
You could argue... No, well, Thanksgiving was a big game.
Yeah, all right, but the NFC East, like, do any of the teams in that division even have defense? Like, it's pretty much you're just throwing against, you know...
The Eagles do for fantasy reasons, but we'll touch that later.
Alrighty. So, all right, we went over that game. Pitt, Cincinnati, Carolina at New Orleans. This is a potential shootout. Mike likes it as a potential one-sided shootout, as you just heard. He's not a big fan of Cam Newton here. And a fun fact here. I had New Orleans written down as a potential defensive stream this week. But it's just, can you really trust a team that's, you know, given up over 30 points 2 weeks in a row? I know they're at home. They play better at home. But the thing is, the Panthers have been that bad. Just 14.5 points per game over the last 6 games. And they scored just 10 points in their last matchup against the Saints. And that was in Carolina. So now they're going into the Superdome. That's why I think there's some potential here for the Saints.
The Saints are so much better offensively. Much better at home.
I mean, I don't know if I can roll with the Saints. I have it written down as a potential streamer. So I kind of like it. There's a lot of teams that I like better than this week. Like, I would go with the Vikings versus the Jets. I like the Chiefs against the Cardinals better just because, like, Drew Stanton sucks. But, I mean, I guess if you're going really low, if you're really desperate, you could look at New Orleans. But
I think the reason we're talking about the defense is because most of the Saints are must-start guys this week.
Yeah, I mean, you're starting Ingram. You're starting Drew Brees. Starting Jimmy Graham. I don't care, donut or not.
You're starting Kenny Stills.
Bagel, whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter. And I think even Marquise Colson is worth, you know, consideration here.
He gets into the flex. Yeah.
Flex. He's low-end wide receiver ugly. Three. There's no upside, but it's like he's catching the touchdown every week. Not a lot of yards. I don't know. And you know, this is a divisional game. It could have a lot of, you know, first-place implications, you know, for later on in the season. Saints and Panthers here. So, all right, we're starting all the Saints and possibly even the Saints defense. What are we doing with the Panthers?
Benjamin and Olsen.
Benjamin and Olsen, that's it?
Yep.
Right, we know you don't like Cam Newton here in this game. It's hard to trust anyone.
Does anyone like their running backs?
On paper, it's a good matchup. That's the thing. But it's like, offensive line is crap. The pass isn't helping out the run, and vice versa, the run isn't helping out the pass. So, that's what we have for the Panthers and Saints.
This next one's exciting.
This is a good game. I mean, the Falcons kind of suck.
This is going to be a blowout.
I think it is, man. In Lambeau, Atlanta at Green Bay.
That was good analysis. The Falcons kind of suck.
They do. They're 5-7. Yes. They're leading their division. But, like, have you seen a roller coaster of a season more than, like, the Falcons this year? They lost that game against the Lions. Like, last second field goal, timeout, not a timeout, penalty, not a penalty in that London game.
They shot themselves in the foot against the Browns. They had that game won.
Yeah. I feel bad for that fan base this year.
Mike Smith is terrible at managing the clock. But for fantasy guys, you're starting Jordy.
I think we're starting
Jordy,
everybody.
You're starting
team.
Cobb. You're starting Lacey.
Are you starting
Rodgers.
One, Lavine Toilolo.
No, probably not.
No, it's not happening, man. I was completely kidding.
You're probably not starting. I don't think you're starting either tight end.
I know Matt Ryan is, like, way better at home, and the offensive line is, you know, just forever beat up for Atlanta, but you have to. I don't care if it's in Lambeau. You gotta roll Matt Ryan in this game. Would you rank Matt Ryan as, like, a top 5-6 quarterback this week?
Based on the fact that he's going to get to throw that much, or the Packers, the last past month have been actually pretty solid against quarterbacks fantasy wise, but top five probably not. No, but I think you are starting him. Like, he's a guy you're going to start.
Can you
over
roll
Big
with
Ben.
Him with confidence?
Yeah,
I think so as well. I think this game has shootout written all over it. Jordy, Randall Cobb should get theirs in this game. Eddie Lacy, I mean, he's going up against the worst-ranked rush defense in the NFL. And then we have Julio Jones coming off a monster week. I know Roddy White could be back. I don't really think that affects him that much. We could see another multiple-touchdown performance for him.
I think Matt Ryan is in, like, the low-end QB1 discussion for me.
Yeah, like, I'm looking at his game logs here. He's had 14 or more fantasy points in each of the past 5 weeks.
This is in 6-point or 4-point passing?
4 points. So, I mean, he's not blowing you away, but he's consistently giving you, you know, 14 or more, which I guess is all right. I mean,
he's going to have, like, to throw in this game, so, I mean, that, like, you could probably bump
range.
That up a little,
like,
bit.
Like, Kaepernick has been giving you consistently, like, 10 to 15 points a week. Not last week, obviously. But, I mean, that's the thing. Like, there's like, a cap on Kaepernick's ceiling. You know, like, he can only go so high. And then, I think Matt Ryan actually outperforms a lot of these weeks here.
But there's guys I like more than him. Like, I mean, you know the obvious guys. The Rodgers, the Manning,
the
Breeze, the Brady.
You're not, realistically, you don't own both of those guys.
Nah, Luck, so. All these guys. But I like, if some chance you have Stafford and Ryan, I like Stafford this week. I think I like both Thursday night guys, too, over him.
Matt Ryan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would. I think I would roll with that. Definitely Romo.
I think he gets in
it's
that...
It's Jay Cutler who scares me.
I think Ryan gets in the discussion, right? Actually, I like Russell Wilson more than him, too. I think after that, he gets in that discussion.
I'm not going Russell Wilson over Matt Ryan.
I would.
I'm not doing it. Dude, I know Russell Wilson's running for a lot right now, but he just has nobody to throw the ball to. I know the Eagles aren't that good and stuff, but... I don't know. I just think Matt Ryan's weapons, primetime game, I think he can have a big night. It's Monday Night Football.
Yeah. Yo, these primetime games have been terrible.
Dude, that Broncos and Chiefs game almost put me to sleep the other
night.
It was
so
man.
Boring.
Oh, my God.
I watched the newsroom over it, actually. I missed the second quarter watching the newsroom.
Yeah, I mean...
I made the right choice.
Why would you even want to watch it? All right, moving on to the next game. This is a potential, like, shootout. It's a... Houston at Jacksonville. Can't really trust anyone on Jacksonville, but at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if some of the wide receivers here come out and put up some points in this game.
The thing is, which one?
It's impossible to guess. That's the thing that you can never guess. And the Texans are giving up the second most fantasy points to wide receivers this season. Just over 28 fantasy points per game. That's, you know, that's not PPR points. That's standard scoring points. That's 28 points. So you have Andre Johnson. Oh no, you have the Jacksonville guys. You have Allen Hurns, Cecil Shorts, and Marquise Lee. Those are the wide receivers there that could potentially split up a 28 point total. But this is assuming they have a competent quarterback.
Yeah, the thing is, one of them is going to catch a deep ball touchdown. It just always happens, but you just don't know which one. And I'm not really willing
Marquise
to gamble.
Marquise Lee had the touchdown last week. Yes. Allen Hurns had the targets. He had 8 targets in that game. Only 4 receptions, though. And then
I'm not willing to roll
Cecil
the dice.
Shorts that, yeah.
I think the most you could say.
I can't see how you can do it unless you're in like a 14 or 16 team league. Yeah. And, you know, you're looking for.
If you're desperate for upside and you're looking to punt. You know, and just, yeah, like Frank said, lightning in a bottle. An interesting guy in that game, I think, is Denard Robinson. I know he's your boy, but he's cooled off as of late.
Yeah, and the Texans are actually pretty stout against the run.
Last two games, against the good matchups, against the Colts, 14 carries, 25 yards, average of 1.8 yards per carry.
I don't think it's
Colts.
Much of his fault. I just think it's, like, been game flow and, like, just falling behind in the game and just... The Jaguars offense just being terrible.
I think the one thing you could say is he's a guy, we all know he's electric. He's on those big runs. The workload may just be tiring him out right now. He's never had a workload like this, and now all these touches these past 6-7 weeks, it could be taking its toll on him.
So going back to our getting cute discussion here, and with your Ryan Fitzpatrick beard on your face,
yes,
are you suggesting... the
nope.
magic to happen 2 weeks in a row.
Nope.
Are we chasing last week's points?
We are not.
So, are you starting Ryan Fitzpatrick over a Cam Newton?
No.
You're starting Cam Newton?
Yes.
Ryan Fitzpatrick or Mark Sanchez?
Mark Sanchez.
So, we're really not starting Ryan Fitzpatrick over anybody.
Maybe over Zach Mettenberger.
Eli Manning?
I like Eli better.
Yeah.
I like...
Philip Rivers?
I personally like Rivers better.
Guess New England?
Yeah.
It's tough. All right, so basically, you heard it here first. We're not trusting Fitzpatrick. But just because we're not trusting Fitzpatrick, does that mean we are not trusting his wide receiver options?
No. I don't really trust Andre Johnson at all at this point.
I think if anyone's going to catch a touchdown in this game, it's going to be D-Hop.
Oh, yeah. Hopkins is going to have another big game, I think. Cause I
could see it happening.
He's just going to stretch that field, man. And if
I could see 100 yards and a touchdown being like the floor this week for him.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think he's going to have a big
Andre
game.
I think Andre Johnson could have one of his solid games. I'm not saying Andre can't go out there and score a touchdown.
He had a nice catch the other
day.
Yeah,
that was nice. Very nice. Snagged a missile out of the air.
I think Andre Johnson is a PPR guy.
Yeah,
I don't think
as
he's
a wide receiver three.
I yeah, I don't think yeah. he's a guy you trust in standard leagues. Nor do I really trust him at all.
I don't know why they don't use him in the red zone. It's like it's not like he doesn't run good routes. It's not like he doesn't have good hands. He has maybe the best hands in the NFL. Besides, like, a Larry Fitzgerald. Maybe Odell Beckham now, one might say. But seriously, though, it always baffles me as to why they never use Andre Johnson in the red zone. We were talking about this before the year. About how potentially Andre Johnson could have this huge year. And he could have, but they just don't use him. Why?
I don't know.
I want to go and talk to like the whole Texans coaching staff and just figure out this debacle right now.
But the reason this is an ugly game is because while it could be a shootout, it's not going to provide you much fantasy points. So
that's true.
Obviously you're starting Foster.
You're starting Foster if he's healthy. If he's out, I like Alfred Blue.
No, yeah, but I think Foster's going to play. He looked good last week.
Low-end RB1, high-end RB2.
He set the...
That's for if Blue is to play.
Oh, yeah.
But if Foster's playing, he's...
I think even if
he's a high-end
if Foster plays, I still think Blue is somewhat in the low-end flex discussion.
You think that they get up big in this game
yes.
and then kind of like...
They could...
Give Foster a rest type thing?
I think that even if it's kind of close, we're going to see more Blue than we did earlier in the year when he was unproven and Foster was just touching every single play.
Me personally, I'm not using Blue as a flex. I don't think so. I can see the argument for
low end. Like if you're desperate.
Yeah.
I would like if say, you know, I'm trying to think of like a scenario where he would be in the discussion, but I'm sure there is one.
How about Preston Parker?
Okay, I would go blue over Preston
Some guy
Parker.
Just randomly came to my head. But do you like a defense better than the Houston defense this week against Jacksonville? I know the Rams have they have a nice matchup. I believe they have the Redskins.
I found one. I like the Rams, but I'd probably go Texans more. I like the Lions a lot against Tampa Bay.
Yes. I like it as well. But pretty much, you're starting the Texans defense this week. I know the Jaguars put up points against the Giants last week, but that's the Giants, man.
And another defense you're probably starting, Denver. Kyle Orton sucks.
Oof. And that is coming from the Bills faithful, Michael Florio.
And I actually think the Bills defense, it's not going to lead to much fantasy points. I think they're going to hold their own. But if you own the Bills defense, you're benching. Me and Frank were talking about it earlier. You're benching them the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But if you like your team's chances to make the championship and you have the roster.
You might want to hold on to them, man.
Championship week, they get Oakland.
Yep, and week 16. And
the best D-line in the league is going to feast.
On Derek Carr. I mean, you saw what the Rams did to them last week, dude. Holy moly. All right, so we're done with that game. And the last potential shootout we have written down here. Pats at Chargers. The Chargers. That's your boy, Phillip Rivers and Keenan Allen.
Yeah, Keenan Allen's come back to life.
Keenan Allen's not showing up this game, man.
He's come back to life, though. He's doing big things.
Yeah, you know what hasn't come back to life? His hairline.
His hairline's been dead since he's
since
10.
He joined the league. Poor guy, dude. He's balding on a serious note. You know what?
Seriously,
now I'm
going to
wake up tomorrow and have no hair because I'm talking crap about
Keenan balding.
Allen.
He wears these baggy thermals under his jersey. Look, it's like they just found him panhandling or something.
No one said you have to look good to play football, all right?
He's come back to life, though. He's the man.
Some of the best players are some ugly mofos, so.
But this is the week.
This isn't the week.
You want to sit him if you can.
Yeah.
Probably going
to
be on redesign.
I know you might not be able to afford it, but it's tough. Really, all the wide receivers for San Diego in this game, it's hard to trust. The two guys I would trust on their offense this week are Antonio Gates and Ryan Matthews. I think despite writing about Ryan Matthews in my article, I said he has one of the tougher stretches in the playoffs here. This is the only matchup that I liked him for against the Patriots. The Patriots have showed this year that's the one place where they're vulnerable is against the run. Despite having, you know, Vince Wilfork, you know, one of the biggest D linemen in the NFL, they've just been shredded up, even by teams like the Jets. So they are definitely prone to that. And I think if the Chargers wide receivers are getting shut out, it could be one of those games like we saw against Seattle where they know they're going to have to get Antonio Gates involved. I don't think Gates has one of those games, not a 3-touchdown game. But I could definitely see him scoring 1, maybe even 2 touchdowns. I'm not a huge fan of Rivers in this game either. I would start a Matt Ryan over him.
He's in that range, though, I'd say.
Would you start Rivers or like that whole Rivers, Dalton,
I'd go
Big
Dalton.
Ben, and Cam Newton range?
How would I rank those?
Yeah, like
probably
those 4 quarterbacks. Because I know a lot of people, all right, besides Dalton, I know a lot of people have probably made it this far with those quarterbacks.
I'd probably
maybe
say
not Cam Newton either.
Dalton, then it's close between Big Ben and Rivers. And
I think I'm going Big Ben there.
I'd probably put Big Ben, then Rivers, then Cam.
I like it. I might go Cam over Rivers, but it's definitely close in that order. Those are basically the shootout games that we have written down here. Is there anything else that you could potentially see as a shootout? Ravens, Dolphins, maybe? Eh. I mean, the Ravens secondary is so gross right now.
Yeah, I like
Jarvis Landry.
I like Jarvis
very
Landry
nice
a lot.
Very nice PPR game here.
Starting him this week.
Mike Wallace is kind of falling off the map. He's not scoring at the pace he used to. He's not catching the receptions he did to start the year. I mean, the Jets and Vikings game is just gross.
Are you trusting Jeremy Maclin against Richard Sherman?
I think you definitely have to consider options, you know, other options that you might have. But benching him?
I'm not.
The thing is, like I said before, I think Sanchez is one of those quarterbacks where, you know, he can exploit a matchup. I'm not saying that he can't show up for big games, because like you said, it was a big game, but it was against the Cowboys. Like, their defense is not good. Look at how Sanchez played in that game against Green Bay. I mean, that's a big game right there, and he didn't look great. I know Macklin is still getting his, even with Sanchez at the helm. I know something that frustrates you is how little Sanchez looks for Macklin in the red zone.
So annoying.
And you know, I don't think this is a game where that trend is going to change by any means. I don't think Macklin's going to score in this game. I can probably name you 15 to 20 wide receivers I would start over Macklin. But
see,
if you have him and he's gotten you this far, he's realistically probably been a wide receiver two on your team. And I'm not, the way I look at it is you probably don't have a lot of options that are better than him.
Yeah, the thing is, if you follow me, you know I absolutely love Macklin all year.
Oh, no, and it's been a great call. I mean,
I
me and you in the Flex League, what's our record in that league, by the way?
12-1.
12-1.
We're on bye, so we don't have to decide. Right. I have him in the other league I had him in. I didn't make the playoffs, but in one I did, and I didn't get the bye, so I actually have to decide him or DeSean Jackson at St. Louis versus St. Louis. So it's a tough one.
This is bold. Would you start Jordan Matthews over Jeremy Macklin this week? I think you have to.
Honestly, someone asked me that for the game against the Cowboys, and I said, you're shooting in a barrel. Like, the two of them are very close now. Like, they're almost the same player, I think.
You think
they're both very capable.
You think Jordan Matthews' value has skyrocketed that high?
I think he's moved up, and Macklin has kind of moved down since Sanchez has come in. I know Macklin's still playing well, but he's not getting those touchdowns. His targets are down a bit from Foles. Like, it's hard to guess which one is going to have the big game of the two, you know? That's what I was kind of saying. Like, we've seen Matthews have huge games these past couple of weeks, but I don't know. I think I would personally go Macklin.
I think I would go Matthews, to be honest. I know that Sherman doesn't necessarily shadow players, although he's been doing it more lately. Like, ever since that game against Dallas where he was shadowing Dez Bryant.
If there's one team I trust, one coach I trust to get creative on offense, though, it's Chip Kelly.
I see what you're saying here. And the thing that influences this the most is I don't really trust Sanchez.
Yeah, that's...
Like, I don't really like either one of these guys, but if I had to go one of them, I probably would go Matthews here. Are you starting Mike Wallace over Macklin this week?
Yeah, probably.
Baltimore matchup. Brandon LaFell at San Diego. Over a Jeremy Macklin.
I'd actually probably go Macklin.
Definitely is close. San Diego has been... they're decent against
the
wide
receivers.
They've been giving up just about 23 fantasy points per game to wide receivers.
LaFell is another one of those guys, though.
Needs a
touchdown. Not only does he need a touchdown, you never know. Is he going to be the one to get it? Gronk, Tim Wright, all the other tight ends they have that they sometimes throw to, Julian Edelman. You know, there's a lot of mouths to feed there. Then you got your running backs. Who knows if they're ever going to let Gray step on the field again, but...
Torrey Smith at Miami over...
Yeah, Torrey Smith's been playing good.
Yeah, he's certainly...
Here's an interesting name that a lot... If you have Macklin, you more than likely could also run out and grab this guy, Dante Moncrief.
I can't start over Macklin. I can't do it.
The upside's there, but I would still go Macklin.
Oh, man. I mean, if you do it and it works out for you, I mean, I'm giving you a Coach of the Year award, but
see,
that's ballsy.
That's
man.
One of those scenarios. Say you
that's
start...
That's ballsy. I mean, Macklin's gotten you this far.
Say you win against, like, a Bennett, and Bennett put up, like, 20 points, right? And now you're down 20. You need a big game. That's one of the scenarios you could consider... throwing Moncrief just because his upside is so high.
Fair enough.
But I would still go Macklin.
All right, so the analogy that we were getting at earlier has to do with some of these really ugly games this week. I'm talking St. Louis at Washington. I'm talking the Giants at the Titans. Jets at Vikings. And then Chiefs at Cardinals.
Wait. Before I have to just... You
and
mentioned
49ers
games.
At Raiders.
you mentioned one of the games. The tight end I was teasing at that I like a lot this week is Kyle Rudolph. I loved him all year. The Jets are terrible in the secondary, especially against tight ends.
Yeah, I mean, we even saw Deion Sims have a decent game last
night. Kyle Rudolph's been getting better and better each week. He's back. I think Kyle Rudolph not only finds the end zone, I think he could do it twice.
Yeah, I mean, you could still find fantasy value in these games. I'm just saying on paper, they're gross.
Oh, yeah.
They're
like, ugly looking. I like the Giants players this week.
So something that me and Mike agreed on before this podcast is that these games, like, while they could have good fantasy value, and, like, you might want to watch them just for, like, your fantasy team. The analogy that we came up with is that, like, imagine...
This was Frank.
All right, Mike just agreed with me. This is something, you know, that randomly popped in my head. I don't know. I'm having all these crazy thoughts today. But imagine you see two girls making out. Or guys, if, you know, for our lady listeners, if that's something you're into, if you want to watch that. But imagine they're just, like, gross looking. Like, I'm talking, like, potential, like... Butch or something, like we have two gross parties here hooking up with each other. Like, it's something usually you would want to see, but just because, like, that's who it is, you're not enjoying it very much. That's what I think these games are. What do you think, Mike?
And on that note, our podcast careers are over.
our podcast careers aren't over, but our podcast is just about over.
That was a nice little segue.
Yes. All right, so don't forget, follow me at Roto underscore Frank. Follow Michael Florio. You can actually see him on after the post game, Sunday Night Football. You could see him on TV, on NBC. That is Michael Florio of NBC Sports.
When I was on the series, the morning show, not too, like, last week, and I referred to him as the other Michael Florio. So now Scott Engel was like, oh, from now on, he's the other Michael Florio.
Yes.
So...
there's only one.
There's that other guy, and then there's me.
And he has a beard, and he writes for rotoexperts.com.
All right. It's been real, guys.
It's been real. Stay classy, fantasy owners.